We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But appreciate your time today, George. It was welcome. You know, message off Norman during the week, just saying that you were willing to give us some time to just talk about your time at Newcastle, but particularly the game against Man United, which we'll come to in a short while. Just to let you know what we do, we're part of a sort of a podcast for a fanzine called True Faith. And what we do is we just always pick old games, what we try to call better days, and and talk about them and just, you know, and put them out to the listeners. So you know, to go back before my time's a bit of a challenge for me because obviously I didn't go then. I wasn't born till 78. But you know, I've swatted up a little bit on it, and I know a bit of my history. So fingers crossed we can get through it. First of all, I mean, the first question really for you, George, is do you still follow Newcastle? Do you still look out for the results and go to games?
I mean, I'm on news now in Newcastle every day at work, just checking up on what's happening and following all the time. I can't eat before a game when they're on the telly. I thought, right, I don't watch them on a full stomach. I've been in Newcastle since, I think, my first game I went to was about six, and that's it. Once you're into them, you're hooked, aren't you?
So, this is it. So, six... go on, George, sorry.
I was going to say, I mean, the thing is, we don't ask for much, do we? I mean, we don't win a lot, but you just want to be entertained and hope that you're going to do something. And like I said, there's been a lot of high moments along our way.
Yeah, well, if you said your first game was six, obviously, you know, you were born in... it was 54, wasn't it, you were born?
54, yeah.
So can you remember much about your first game at all, George?
All I remember, because when I looked it up, it was... We'd be Brighton 5-0.
Right.
And all I can remember, I was in the Leasers end, I was right down in the front, Brighton played in all white, and we won 5-0, and that's it.
Well, that's a massive coincidence, because my first game was also a 5-0 win. It was 1988. It was when Paul Gascoigne was still at the club. So so you had a good introduction. I had a brilliant introduction, and it's probably been downhill since. but you touched on obviously supporting the club now, which is great to hear. So what was it like? Because, you know, you signed for Newcastle as a junior. I think you were 15 when you signed. Is that right, George?
Well, I remember I was at a trial match and Joe Harvey was there, and after the trial game, it was me, another lad, Steve Allen, and he said to me, "How old are you, George?" I said, "Oh, 16. He said, "Right, I'll be signing you. Will you be an apprentice?" I thought, bloody hell, what? I thought, great. Oh, that's brilliant. Don't have to worry about the exams now.
Right, yeah, of course.
And, that was it. I mean, I was just talking about the other day to some of my mates at work. I can remember the first time I pulled on a Newcastle shirt, junior game, up at Hunter's Moor.
Right.
I was sat in the changing room, put the black and white shirt on, and I just looked down at the badge, and I've never felt so proud in all my life.
Well, you're giving me goosebumps, George, because...
honestly, I thought, this is what it's all about. I've got a black and white shirt on. It was unbelievable.
So obviously, you were a massive supporter. That's evident. You were going from you were six. So to sign for Newcastle, obviously the calibre of the players who were there at the time, we'll touch on the on some of them in a bit, but
yeah.
Was it just a case of, you know, did you have confidence in your own ability that you would make the grade, or was it just a case of you just were playing for Newcastle and you didn't care how far you got? How did you feel at the time?
No, it was just, seemed to get taken along from the ride. You know, I was always good at school, at sport, and one thing just sort of led to another.
Right.
I got picked up, the story behind how I got picked up is the local postman was a Sunderland supporter.
Right.
And the rep for one of the cigarette companies was a Newcastle scout.
Right.
And he said, oh, you should be checking out this lad, you know, this local lad. And mm-hmm. that's how it came about, and I got trials there, and it went on from there, and it just, it seemed to get carried along. It goes in stages, because when you're an apprentice, it's a question, right, will I get signed full-time?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it's... Because when I was there, there was a lot of good lads didn't make the grade. I mean, I never made the grade where I made hundreds and hundreds of games, but I got signed on. I saw a lot of good lads didn't make it.
Yeah.
And then I got signed on, and it's just where it took you.
So what was your style then, George? What was your style?
Yeah, good question. yeah, centre forward. I thought I was quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out I was good in the air.
Right.
I was, yeah.
So would you say you were more of a, would it be underestimating your ability to say you were a bit of a target man, or could you play on the deck as well? What was your, if you could compare yourself, yeah.
Yeah, I like to think I could play on the deck, because as a centre forward, you know, I'm not a big, strong lad. Mm-hmm. When I was at Newcastle, the coach of the junior team there, Jeff Allen, did a write-up on the paper on this, and he says he compared this to Alan Clark of Leeds.
Right, okay.
He said, I never saw him as a young lad, but he said, I've got a geez, double here, the way he runs and plays, and I can see that.
Right. That's a compliment of the highest order, that, and that must have given you a real buzz as a young lad, yeah? So after that, then, obviously you were the juniors for a couple of years, and I've just swatted up there, I believe, did you sign professional terms when you literally turned 18? Is that how it come about?
Yeah, when I turned 18. Yeah, and that was a great day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I said, I think you'll be on £37 a week, George.
So was that would have been a lot of money then, yeah?
Well, it was to me.
Yeah.
When I joined Newcastle as an apprentice at 16, my wage was £4 a week.
Right.
But I got expenses for me trained, because I used to get the training to work every day.
I'm assuming you were still at the parents back then as well, yeah, as a kid?
Yeah. But, I mean, in those days, it was you had to play for the first team to make some money, because it was all down to parents' money and gate money and all different bonuses. And I mean, I don't begrudge the players now, but you know, you don't have to play to be making the money.
Well,
but then you did. You had an incentive for getting the first team.
This is it. Well, that comes to me, brings me perfectly to the next question, George, because you came into the side at Leicester. Your debut was at Leicester City, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And was it a straight replacement for Supermac, or?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bolt out of the blue. I hadn't been training with the first team, nothing. I turned up Friday morning at Scotswood for training after my hour-long train ride in.
Right.
And Joe Harvey just says, wants a word. I said, right. He says, right, George, you're playing tomorrow.
Right.
I said, what? Since you're playing tomorrow at Leicester, have you got your stuff? I said, well, because we're stopping overnight. I said, well, no, everything's at home. He said, right, get yourself home. So I had to go got the train back home.
Mm-hmm.
Mother said, what the hell are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm playing tomorrow at Leicester. She says, give over, what are you doing? I said, no, I need my overnight stuff. So got that, then got back to the ground, and just as we were ready to pull out.
Right.
And it's, questioned, all right, George, we need photographs of you getting on the bus and this, that and the other. I thought, bloody hell, it was all whirlwind.
Brilliant, that. Brilliant. So obviously, you know, we had a great start the season then. I believe we were second from the top.
Oh, yeah, we were up there. We had a good team. And, I mean, that night I roomed with Irving Natras, and
right.
I can always remember me pre-match meal the next day. I couldn't really eat it. I was choking on it. And then when I got to the ground, it was inside the ground. There was telegrams and everything from everyone.
Right.
It was lovely. But, no, I enjoyed it. We had a good team, and I wasn't fazed by it. In fact, it was brilliant to play with, you know, better players and on a good ground and atmosphere. And I thought, this is it. This is fantastic. And Peter Shilton denied us on the day from getting a goal. But
Shilton was in goal then, right?
Yeah. In fact, I went to celebrate. I thought I'd scored.
Right.
It was one of these headers going over him, but he arched his back and tipped it over the bar, and that was it.
Was that the only sniff of the game?
Oh, no, I had another sniff in the first half. Mm-hmm. I followed up a shot, the rebound, and that's all I can remember of the game. But it was,
fantastic.
We played well. I think it was Keith Deller scored for them.
Right.
Seems to ring a bell.
Right. So, well, we'll go down 1-0. I suppose that the whole purpose of this conversation, George, it's a great, great story. You know, we play Man United in next week now. Christ, it's come round quick.
Yeah.
But we'll play them next week. And, you know, as I say, we always try and dip back to olden days. Now, 17th of November 1973, mate, you were 19. And you've kept your place in the side. We're up against Manchester United team. Now, obviously, everyone knows of George Best. They know of Charlton, et cetera, et cetera. But I've just had a quick glance at the team sheet. You know, I probably don't need to tell you this, but I'm in awe here because you've got George Best, you've got Lou McCaury, you've got Jimmy Greenhoff, and you've also got Brian Kidd, and then you've got George Graham, who I really didn't know played for Man United, but that's the lad who ended up managing Arsenal and Spurs.
Yeah, he scored, actually.
So paint the picture for us then, George. It's your home debut, you know, there's 40,000 there. You know, tell us, you know, what your thoughts were and how you believe the game went.
Well, we played really started off, we scored the first goal. Remember, we got a free kick and Terry Hibbett took it on the right hand side.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those, I just sort of looked at him and he looked at me and he knew. I thought, right, just put it in that spot there.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it in that spot and I ran on, diving header, and hit Stepney's knees, and Tommy Cassidy knocked on the rebound.
Have you watched it back? You probably have watched it back, George, have you?
That's a silly question, isn't it?
Because obviously I had to educate myself on the game, and what I love about the commentator is, after the goal by Cassidy, I'll quote him word for word, he says, a lot of the good work was done by Newcastle's 19-year-old centre-forward, George Hope. Now, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. And then they started knocking about a bit. I mean, they had a poor team in those days. I think they went down that year. But they had some good players and they could play a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went 2-1 down. And you're thinking, oh, we lost last week, but it wasn't this week. Everyone be thinking, God, I wish we had Supermac back or something. But we turned around second half. Like I say, we got back to Old Square. Cassidy again after a Tommy Gibb run, he knocked it across and Tommy knocked it in. It was 2-2, and then then came the winning goal from the corner.
Well, again, just for the listeners' benefit, you know, we're attacking the Gallagher end then. I mean, to be fair, it was all about the Leasers end back then, wasn't it? That was the main...
Yeah, that's where I went, yeah.
Right.
I never understand why they went on about the Gallagher, because the Leasers end...
You're showing your age now, George.
Yeah, that was the singing end, wasn't it?
It was.
But
still, Gallagher end, you know, if it's good enough for... the likes of Keegan to score on his debut at the Gallagher, and it's good enough for George Hope, you know what I'm saying? I've looked it up. Your memory is probably better than mine, but I've just got the benefit of the TV footage, and it looked as if it was a well-worked corner. I couldn't make out who put the cross in. Would that have been Hibbett?
Terry Hibbett,
Terry Hibbett, right.
Yeah,
and then it seemed to hang in the air, but you sort of, you didn't just head it, you sort of control and directed it into the corner of the net.
Yeah. And when it went in, I thought, bloody hell, it was one of those that you had to wait a second. I thought, Christ, I've scored.
Is that why your celebration was a little bit sort of subdued? Would you not subdued, but just a little bit disbelief?
We didn't have celebrations in those days. You didn't. You just. That's all you did. Hands up. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
There was none of these pre-planned celebrations that you get now.
But still, you know, you scored the winner for Newcastle on your debut against Manchester United. How did your night go? Or is that a silly question?
Well, after the game, it was funny because Diana Ross came into the changing rooms, wanted to meet us and shake my hand. And then Frank Clark says, the one interviewer, want to interview you, George, on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I said, no, do it. I said, no, go on. I said, no, I don't really want to do it. He says, you get £25, you know. I said, all right, I'll go on.
Bloody hell.
So I did that, and then, that night, back home in the village in Edenbridge, went out, and it was funny, though, because it was one of those things, you think, well, if you act like a bloody idiot, and you've got that big head, mm-hmm. and if you're all quiet, you think, what's up with him?
Yeah.
So you didn't really know how to act, but, it was a good night, and it's still the same when I go home now, bloody, you know, they tell the grandbands now. Said, "Oh, this is him. That's George Hope. You know, I'll tell you about got that goal."
Wow, that's just it's just unbelievable. I mean, like I say, in no disrespect to you, but obviously it's not my era. But you know, reading up on it and then thinking, "Christ, it doesn't matter who you've pulled on the black and white shirt, you've scored on your home debut, and the fact that it's against arguably the biggest club in possibly the world." Who tell me?
That's what made it. Who I was playing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, if it'd been Southampton or Bournemouth or somewhere like that, it wouldn't be mentioned, but it's Man United, it's George Man United. Best. And like I live down here in York now, and I mean, there's loads of Leeds fans down here like us. They say, oh, this is the bloke scoring against Man United.
Brilliant. Well, the following week then, George, I mean, you know, I'm just starting up really just to remind you, but you probably know the full career, but we'll go down to St Park and play out a 1-1 draw. You kept your players in the side again.
Yeah.
And then it looks as if Pop Robson came into the side for Supermark. Were you disappointed? Or was it an injury at your end?
It was an injury.
Right.
I wasn't injured in the game, but on the way home, we stopped off for a meal. And when I tried to get out with the chair, I was like, that's my back's bloody killing us. I pulled a muscle in my back. And there was a midweek game, I think it was a Texaco Trophy or something like that.
Right.
Which would have been played with, but I couldn't. I pulled the muscle in my back and I was out for a couple of weeks. Then basically, once I got fit again, it was one of those, everyone else was fit.
Right.
You know, Supermac was back. And Tudor, and there was Keith Robson then as well.
Right.
And Paul Cannell. So basically that was it.
But you say that, but it was the end of the season. You came back for another trio of games.
Yeah. At the end of the season, I got some games as well. But I was stuck out in the wing then. Supermac and Judah were playing, and I was like right wing.
Right.
Which, it's not right wing, but it was still nice to play.
Well, I've just, you know, again, looking up the fixtures, we're end of season form in the league was absolutely atrocious, to be honest. But I think there was some clear distractions with the FA Cup run. But, you know, you played and we beat Everton at home again in front of 45,000. So, you know, and you know, and forgive us if I'm incorrect, but I don't think you ever substituted, so you must have done okay.
Yeah, I did all right.
It's a part-time winner.
They didn't have any substitutes then, so they had to be careful.
Ah, right, you're okay, mate. So that makes it all, and forgive me for that. But
you only had 12 players then. That's why it was so much harder to get into the team.
Right. It wasn't a squad game then, was it? You were just...
You had about 16 or 17 players, and on a Saturday, you didn't have a substitute goalie for a kickoff.
Right, Well, at that point then, you're three games towards the end of that season. I mean, it was good timing in a sense because the city must have been absolutely buzzing. We had just reached the cup final.
Yeah,
What's your memories of the cup? I mean, obviously you weren't in the team, but did you get to the games? Yeah. Were you there as a supporter or?
I can remember the biggest memories of the semi-final against Burnley, the Super Mac.
Yeah.
I can still see it now, and the through ball and the bouncy pitch and him just knocking it in. Mm-hmm. And that's it. We've had nothing since then.
A couple of little sniffs, but nothing worth. I mean, it's amazing that people still, talk about that semi-final as, winning a trophy. Such was the atmosphere and the way we, Hibbert's bought the Supermac, as you say. And
But I suppose when the first cup, 69.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was 15 then. I watched all the European games then. And I can't believe that's the last thing we won, 69. As many times I said, Christ, I hope I see us win something before we die again.
I think we're all in the same boat, unfortunately, George. So obviously the cup final, I mean, were you there as a spectator? Or did you manage to get a ticket? I'm assuming they're like gold dust.
No, I wasn't there.
Probably a good thing in hindsight, though.
We didn't really turn up. I mean, Liverpool, a good team, and we never really turned up, but we made it there, which there's more we can say of what's happening at the moment. We seem to be putting the cups to one side.
Well, the summer, 1974, Mickey Burns came in. Now, at that point, you've already mentioned the strikers you had to compete against. What was your thoughts when another big signing came in? I mean, was it a case of still going to try and get a place, or did you then think, I'm 20 now, do I need to start looking elsewhere? What were your thoughts?
Well, you expected Newcastle to buy players in, and they did buy a lot of players in then, and it was just a question, right, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. Basically, it was in the reserves all season, which isn't as nice once you've played the first team.
Exactly. Were you scoring, though, George? Were you grabbing goals for the reserves?
Yeah. Scoring a few goals. But like you say, when you've got Supermac and Tudor and Mickey Burns and all them, and like you say, they didn't seem to get injured like they've got these days. They're changing the players all around all the time. It's settled teams you could name. Well, in fact, I could name every team in the Premier League from 1 to 11, because they were numbered from 1 to 11, and the teams were virtually the same every week.
Exactly.
for every club.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And at the end of the season, this was a question, we're going to let you go.
Right.
But I got an offer to go to Charlton Athletic. They wanted to sign us, going down there.
Mm-hmm.
Was down there a year and a half, and ended up on loan in York City, where I am now.
Right.
And that's a couple of years at the end of York, same thing, end of my contract. He said, well, I can get you fixed up here. And you think, wait a minute, it's a bit of a merry-go-round now. And you think, you were living year to year.
Right.
Because you didn't know if you're going to get a contract the next year. And it was a bit, I thought, I don't know what to do. I thought, I'll get a proper job and play football part-time.
Right.
Anyway, I got a job at Roundtree's, the local factory. I'd been there a week, and the FA went to us. She said, this bloke wants you to go to Belgium for a trial.
Right.
And the missus says, come on, we'll go. Might as well, nothing to lose. And it was me and this other lad from York, and I got signed up. Ended up staying there 5 years.
Yeah, well, I've never heard of the first team. Is it Wesel Sport?
Wesel Sport, yeah. It was just a small team.
Right.
Local team. There was a question. I worked for the sponsor and played for their for his team.
Their team. But were you there, was it 4 years? No, it wasn't. Was it six?
It was 4 years at Wesel, and then I moved to
Ghent. Right.
Had a year there. And then there was a question, we need to get home.
Right.
Get a proper job. And we'd had our first son there. So I thought it's time to settle down.
So did you settle down in York?
Yeah. I married a York girl. Uh-huh. That's why I ended up in York. And that's why I'm still here now.
Right. So let's try and recap then, George. Obviously, you've played, and you've, you know, not many people can say they've played on the same side as Supermac and Tudor and Terry Hibbert, etc. In your opinion, who stood out? I mean, there's probably some obvious ones I've mentioned, but there's any players where you just, you know, you were, you know, that impressed that you just had to stand still and watch them play? You tell me.
Oh, I tell you what, I love watching. I just play with him. Jinky Jimmy Smith.
Right.
He was so cool. I think he used to drive Joe Harvey nuts because he'd try and do a nutmeg on his own six-yard box before he cleared it. But he was very silky, was Jinky.
Right.
Yeah, I love watching him. And obviously, Supermac was the obvious. He was as a striker. But before him, there was Big Win Davis.
Yeah, of course.
And obviously, we had Pop Robson, who was also from the same area as me. He was at Hexham. I love Pop.
Right.
He used to score us a lot of goals. And I think that's what Newcastle is missing now. Someone can get us a goal out of nothing.
Well, I think it's been staying with the face for a couple of years now, isn't it? But that's... Yeah. I don't want to depress myself or you talking about the modern day. To be honest, it's quite bleak, isn't it? What was Moncur like as a captain?
No, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was a great captain. For the club as well, and great ambassador. Well, he is an ambassador, isn't he? Yeah, a real nice bloke, great leader. In fact, I met him a couple of years ago. I went up to see a game when they were in the championship, and I bought tickets for my daughters live in London. I said, come on, I'm off this weekend. We went up. And I didn't know she had arranged with someone. He said, look, my dad used to play for them. Is there anything you do to make it a bit special? And they never mentioned anything. And when we got there, we had to park up. We changed our tickets, and we got fresh tickets. And I said, no, I've got to ask for someone. Bobby works in the bar up there. And... she was asking people, is there a Bobby? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, she said, I phoned him. And then he turned up. I said, you never told me it's Bobby Moncur. And it was Alan Foggan as well.
Oh, so yes.
It was great to see because he was there. And I said, this is Alan Foggan, and he scored in the first cup final.
Right.
And Bobby said, wait a minute, George, I scored at three.
well, Alan, he used to run a pub where I'm from, a pub called the Simonside Arms. So when we used to go in, I was just in awe, you know. I'd never seen him play, obviously never seen you play or Superman or anything like that, but you still, if it's in your blood, you want to speak to people who've made a massive impact in Newcastle's history, you know.
When Alan came onto the scene, they were my heroes. I used to get the pink every night.
Yeah?
Because read the reports. And it was the first time they put a couple of local lads in. There was him and Keith Dyson.
Right.
And I was willing them every week to bloody score, to do something. I thought, oh, this is fantastic. There's some local lads to shout for. And they did great.
Fantastic.
And like I said, they ended up with the first cup.
Well, this is it. The last trophy, and here we are now. What is it? It'll be, is it 50 years next year?
I was 69, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, well, I turned 40 this year. So it's engraved into us. And, you know, I was brought up in it. Well, to be honest, once Gascoigne left, we were relegated the following season when an old teammate of yours, Willie McFall, he was manager at the start of the season, but it was Jim Smith who ended up taking us down. But for them, for a couple of years, it was bleak. You know, attendances were falling. It was only when Kevin Keegan came back as manager where things picked up, as you know.
They were great, weren't they? The Keegan years.
Did you ever see Keegan? I know you were over in Belgium at the time, but you know, were you sort of, did you try and get back and see Keegan play for Newcastle? Did you get over or?
No, I didn't. Right. All the videos though, all them seasons. Uh-huh. I mean, they're unbelievable when you watch them. You can't believe the football we played.
Yeah.
It's like I say, hopefully those times will come back.
Hopefully they will. you mentioned players at the club when you were there. Who would you say you enjoyed watching since you've sort of retired and you can watch football on the TV more? Any standout players?
Well, it's going back to the Keegan areas.
Yeah.
I used to love Ginola.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And we had, Shearer and Ferdinand. I mean, mm-hmm. Bloody hell, forgotten to mention Shearer. How long have we been in this conversation?
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the ultimate, wasn't it? Alan, he could do everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've obviously the Keegan years. And what about, other players? I mentioned Gascoigne. He was at Newcastle. He was probably the best player in the world at the start of the 90s. Any other players where you really enjoyed watching play?
Gascoigne was a great player. I mean, I keep going back older. Sooty Suddick, Alan Suddick, you remember him? That's before your time.
Right, I know the name.
He's another one of these slinky midfielders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think most of the players I'm thinking of are from that Keegan era.
Yeah.
You can pick anyone out of that team. I just love the whole team.
Mm-hmm. Did you you obviously being a local lad, and you mentioned the local lads coming through. What were your memories of the likes of Lee Clark and Howie and Watson and all them coming through? Was that sort of a joy for you as well, because you've been there and done it?
Yeah. I mean, I never realised when I played, people got off on it being a local lad scores winning goal and that. But you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like now that crying out, I wish you'd put some of the local lads in that were trying to get into the team now, like Longstaff and Colin Roberts. Mm-hmm. they seem to be, give them a chance. They did brilliant, because unless you try them, you don't know, do you?
Well, this is it. That's perfect time again, because if you don't try another career as well, you'll never know. And what's this they tell me about you being a bit of an actor in a TV drama, playing the field? What was that all about?
Oh, that was dunk. Well, my daughter used to play football.
Right.
She played for Leeds United Ladies, and she actually ended up playing for England.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Under 17s, but her first love was acting.
Right.
And through that, there was an extras thing came up. I actually had to play a referee.
Right.
I think they cut it out because I think I over-egged it. I had to give a penalty, and I think I overdid it. I thought, and when I watched the pro, I thought, they didn't show that bit.
Right, okay. Well, see, I've been the best research. I don't know whether you know the lads on NUFC.com. Biffa, the lad who runs it, he's and obviously the club historian Paul Ioana. They've written a book called The Ultimate Who's Who, and it's just every player between 1881 and 2014. And because I've got that information from this book, they've obviously went to some extensive research, but they sadly haven't mentioned that it didn't make the cut though.
Some bits, but the big part where I think
it's probably,
I think.
Ah, right. I'm with you.
That's where I'm
with you. So do you intend to get back to St James at some point this season, George? Or
the problem I've got, the job I'm in now in car sales.
Right.
I work most weekends.
Mm-hmm.
3 weekends out of 4 I work. So
right.
A fourth weekend, I'm gonna hope that there's a game on and try and get a ticket, but. Yeah, follow them all the time. Even at work, I've got every phone on alert, and somebody goes in.
So it'll never leave you, will it? I mean,
no.
There's players who I'm not going to name names, but players who were brought up, Geordie, supported the club, played for the club, but then don't really seem to show half as much interest as what you clearly do. So it's always nice to hear local lad doing well, pulling on the shirt, but still a fanatic by the sounds of it. You just can't get the game.
I've got my girls. They're into Newcastle as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could get over there more often, because it's a great place, great ground, great atmosphere.
Yeah,
especially if we're doing well.
You took the words out of my mouth, and this is probably going to be my final question, George. And let's not try and bring everyone down who's going to listen to this. But if you could summarize the state of the club, is it all about Mike Ashley not backing the right man, or does it is it deeper than that, in your opinion?
Well, we need someone to put money into the club to invest in players, and if it is, and if it's actually. I mean, he has helped them out in one way, you know, sort out the debts and that. But and I think he's just relying on Rafa to make sure we don't go down. He's to me, he seems to be too much of a businessman, which he is. And he likes making money and profit. And but the Premier League's not like that. And supporters aren't bothered about, you know, balance sheets.
They're not.
We just want something to, you know, a bit of hope. That's all we want. A bit of hope, I think. Christ, even if we don't do out in the league this year, I mean, we're not trying in the cups now, which is so, so disappointing.
Well, the sad thing, George, is we've got Blackburn next week at home, and you know as well as I do, when FA Cup games come round, you would probably add more people to the attendance, the average gear. But now it's sort of lost its sort of appeal, and there's even talk of you know, supporters deliberately staying away, you know, to try and get at Ashley, and it's frustrating. You just don't know right from wrong now, and I think the crux of it is Newcastle cannot move forward until that bloke's gone. You know.
Also, what the problem is the how the Premier League's got with the money that's on offer. That's the problem. But you know, I mean, you've got this very, very top clubs talking about, yeah, it'd be great if we finish fourth. You know, not about winning stuff, just finishing fourth, and then the rest of the league is about just stopping up.
Yeah.
Because there's too much money to lose. I fear if we went down, I don't think we'd come straight back. I think we were so lucky to get straight back up last time.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Leeds going great guns now, but they've been out,
years.
The Premier League for 15 years.
Wow, when you put it like that. Yeah.
You know, and they were, you know, going for European glory and everything, and you can so easy get in that slippery slope. I mean, we've been there before, and we don't want it to happen again. You just want to see the club just grow and grow, get some money thrown in, get top players, and the place will take off.
Well, this is it. It's happening under Keegan as a player and a manager. You know, Bobby Robson as well. Have the right man and back him correctly. We might just get that trophy you mentioned, you know. We might just do it.
Well, Bobby got sacked for being fifth.
Oh, well, that's. I think me and you need to have another podcast, George. I really, really do. Because, you know, I think it was blatantly obvious people above him, you know, sort of undermined him, you know. But, hey, Bobby Robson was fantastic for the club.
And, God bless him.
God bless him indeed. And just to sort of conclude, George, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, mate. And, you know, you obviously know your stuff. You're not just here to tell us about, you know, that day. But hey, mate, not many people can say they've scored a winning goal against Man United, mate. So very, very well done. And
Mark,
I hope you still get plenty of beers when you're out and about on that, mate.
Because
even though it was before my time, mate, I would definitely buy you a pint, mate, for that. So very well done. But stay in touch, George, mate. I know you alluded to trying to get up for the game. I'll be in touch, mate. We'll try and sort something out. It would be good to come up and look after you. Yeah, definitely. And pass on the best of the family and all the best for next year. And fingers crossed, mate, we're a little bit happier come May.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.